podcast. There is no date today because I don't even know where we are. I'm in the car with Matt Kennedy, of course, and today with the Reverend Dr. Lee Gatiss, who spent Synod with us in Binghamton and did some incredibly helpful talks about the Reformation. So we strong-armed him into a couple of minutes with us in the car. He can't get out of the car, and so we're forcing him.
Let me out!
We're forcing him to answer some questions. Matt, what would you like to ask Dr. Gatiss?
Well, it did seem that he had kind of a British bemusement as he was watching our gallivanting around the church as Anglicans in America.
In America.
I'd be interested to hear his kind of cultural reflections on what American Anglicanism is like for him being an Englishman here.
That's a really interesting question. And I've noticed that American evangelicalism and American Anglicanism are different in many ways to how things are in Britain. Back in the old country, God's own country. I was interested that, you do have a flag, you have an American flag in your church, but it's not prominently displayed at the front. I've been in many American churches where there is a Star-Spangled Idol up at the... Star-Spangled Banner up at the front of the church.
Are there no Union Jacks in English churches?
You might see that in some places, okay. But it's much more prevalent in America, I think. But maybe it's just the people I've seen and places. But the flag is everywhere.
Right.
It's outside the church. It's in the hotel. It's on the street. It's outside the McDonald's. You know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's in the church. And usually on the north side of the church, I've noticed. And I did ask a friend once why was it there and not somewhere else. And apparently it's because the north won.
See, I'm from Texas, so that's a sore subject.
Yeah, well, that's why in your church I noticed that you actually have the Star Spangled Banner on the south side.
Right.
So that must be why. So it's just these subtle cues that we wouldn't notice otherwise. You see, English people wouldn't notice that because we thought your civil war had ended, but apparently not.
No, it continues on.
But there are other things too, aren't there? So I have noticed that even evangelical Anglicanism here, within the Episcopal Church and outside, in Acna or Cana, or some other alphabetty spaghetti sort of initials, you're much more high church than we are in the UK. By which I mean, in terms of robes and processions and bowings and scrapings and candles and all that kind of stuff that British evangelicals usually dump pretty quickly because they associate it with the remnants of popery or the success of the Oxford movement Anglo-Catholics. So there are many of our churches would have those things, but lots of evangelicals would be trying to reform away from those. Whereas you seem to be joyfully high church as a Calvinist. You're a high church Calvinist. And we don't have many high church Calvinists in the UK, but that seems to be prevalent here.
Three and a half.
It's difficult to quantify exactly how many, but that is not the... I mean, that seems to be the flavour of sound Anglicans here are high church Calvinists, whereas in the UK, sound Anglicans are not high church Calvinists. They might be Calvinists, they may be Reformed, but they'd be much more low church in style.
So there's... But you were saying, I think, last night that the clothing has a lot more political oomph to it in England.
Is that a technical theological term?
Yes, oomph.
It is.
Oomph.
It's like thing. That's a technical theological word.
Fair enough. Yes, I mean, it often it's freighted with all kinds of theological meanings and reasons why people do things that way. And if it does have theological meaning, then that makes it quite difficult to retain. If you're trying to teach the gospel clearly. So a tinkling bell when you have the consecration means transubstantiation. It means a false view of the Lord's Supper. When
you
have
the
robes...
Well, the bell isn't so much... T- tinkle.
You didn't tinkle a bell on Sunday when I was there.
We took away all of the things.
We removed every.
We thought we were giving you like
the lowest of the lowest
possible.
That's pretty awesome to me. You said this to me in advance, and you even announced it to the congregation.
I know, because they knew.
Today, Lee Gaiters is here, and he's from the Church Society, and they're all very low church, so we're going to do things low church. And then I thought you ignored your own advice, because it was still a pretty... We still had a procession, we had candles and altar servers.
Oh, wait, you don't have candles?
How else do you see?
Well, if there's no electric lights, but wasn't electric lighting invented by an American? I mean, I don't know, but...
You don't have candles on your
tables? Why would you have candles on your tables?
I light candles.
We can
on
see
my
quite well.
I've never eat dinner without lighting candles ever.
That's
a matter of principle.
Matt was spinning around in the what you call the sanctuary or the holy of holies from the temple in the Old Testament. He was spinning around in there all the time. So half the time he was facing east, and then he would turn west for some bits. And do whatever steps you want if you've cleared them with the pontiff, I suppose. But, it was hard for me to keep track of what was going on there.
It would seem odd to pray in the direction of the people, though.
God is everywhere, and whichever way you're looking,
you can... Of course, yes, he's everywhere.
So you have to look to the east, because that's where God is. You see, that sounds strange to me. Why are we teaching people that God is in the east?
But there's symbolic...
Wait, is your church even oriented east to west? I mean, have you checked that on a compass?
We should
do that. There's an app for that.
Is there an app?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure you can.
I don't even know where a compass could be found.
So why is God at the east end of the church?
He's not at the east end of the church. However, this might be interesting background for you, because when we first got to Good Shepherd...
He's going to mansplain you now. I'm sorry. He's going to Anglican-splain you.
I'm being high church Calvinist mansplained.
There were lots of people who thought, the church is just about the pastor as our daddy, our father, and we're his children. And it was very, I told you they had an Anglo-Catholic background. This is spirit. So.
And you have 17 children or something, don't you? So you're good at doing that fatherly thing.
We do that. So when Father Matt, that's what they used to call me, when Father Matt looks at, sits behind the altar, which they called it, and we have communion together. It's a time of family. So there's the family orientation. I'm sorry, we're driving as we're recording this, so every once in a while you'll hear someone yell out.
Go east.
Right. They'll yell out, break!
Although maybe you should get on the other side. I don't know. Clinton.
Can we press that for faster route available?
Sure. It's going to reroute us. So you were standing behind the table looking out at all the children and east.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And everybody was looking at the cookie, adoring the cookie.
The God Smarty.
Desiring the cookie and then wanting to go home. And so...
Well, there was no sense of holiness and reverence about it, because the idea was we were all one big happy family, and it was all about us expressing our familyhood. When I started twirling, as you say, part of that was to communicate... We are at... Am I? Yeah.
I don't know. I can't see it.
Am I going the right way? Yes. Okay. Part of the idea there was to express that we are, in fact, not worshiping ourselves. We are, in fact, not worshiping the God within. Although, yes, God does dwell within us, the Holy Spirit. We're worshiping a God who is holy and to be honored. So part of that was just to communicate, just to kind of break through that.
It's not about you.
Yes, that's the thing. And most of the other stuff you saw was just already there by virtue of Anglo-Catholic tradition that we, when we came in...
And you meet in an old, former Catholic church.
Yeah,
so
we did. Right, but even before that, this place was historically, that parish was historically Anglo-Catholic.
So all the idolatrous pictures of God on the walls, are they inherited from the Catholics?
Those were inherited from the Catholics, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all of that was. We didn't bring that up with us.
And the icon?
the icon. That was given to us by...
We did. That does belong to us.
But that was given to us by someone who knew that we lost our old building. They commissioned a painting of the icon and gave it to us. And so we,
okay,
we stuck it up there.
But we did put the Mary being crowned in heaven in a cupboard before you came.
Okay, but the,
so Mary's in the cupboard.
Okay, but the you and I agree, though, that these... In themselves, the clothing, the accoutrements, the symbols, they're just, they're clothing. It's just, and so the gospel is the gospel, and we can,
what was impressive to me is, we believe this. I heard you preach this weekend, which was a stonkingly good sermon. Do you understand that in American? Stonkingly good.
What does that mean?
It means it was very nice. It was a lovely sermon.
It was lovely. Later and make sure that's really
good. It was a great sermon. We believe the same. We said the Nicene Creed. You sounded like you believed it. We believe the same things about the gospel.
Right.
But some of these things are the sort of the high church stage props.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
But because they don't carry all the weight that they do for people in England, for us, we could walk into a church that had all of that stuff.
You were quite happy to do away with some of your favoured high church stuff. Because I was there.
Yeah, just because it's custom. It's not essential to our worship. We just do it because it's part of our tradition. But we can chunk it if we have to.
Did anyone complain about that?
No one complained.
Well, that's good.
Because they know. We've said, look, these are things that are negotiable. They're not essential. Not essential. And you know, you go through 1 Corinthians 8. You show this is one of those things. We have this tradition. The Anglican Church is very low church. Well, I don't think you would call them low church, but we would call them low church. So when I go over there, I wear the cassock and surplice, and I do all the stuff they do, and it's not a big deal. So anyway, it's interesting. It's interesting that
to the right.
To the right. Okay.
We don't want to go into New York City. We almost did just drive into New York City just now.
Hey, I've never been to New York City. I've only ever been to New York State. I've been to Albany and Binghamton, but I've never actually been to New York City.
Well, New York City doesn't count. It's like a separate country, apart from the whole country.
Do I need a passport to get in there from here?
It would be helpful. Okay. I don't think we're allowed to go because we're from the center.
But Matt is from another country, though, isn't he? He's from Texas.
From Texas,
it's
another state.
Yeah. They do things differently there.
They do. So tell us also, like, kind of talked about it.
You would probably think I was a Baptist if you came to one of our churches in the UK. We're very different.
So if you were to set up your own essence?
Well, I'll tell you what it's like rather than how it necessarily should be. But we would have a range of things in the Church of England. So lots of churches would be fairly traditional. Vicar would wear a dog collar, the clerical collar, at least with a suit and a collar. But
no vestment.
For some services, they would have cassock, surplice, and preaching scarf, or tippet, as you call it here. And that would be what evangelicals would tend to wear.
Okay.
There will be in some churches where they might wear chasubles and things, but they would not normally be the most evangelical of parishes in terms of theology. So that would be very traditional and could be considered very bit too conservative and traditional by many evangelicals. So most evangelical, conservative evangelical parishes in the Church of England would probably be trying or moving in a direction away from there towards maybe just having the dog collar and a suit, and probably maybe a suit and tie. Maybe in some places not even a tie.
Ah.
So we're in that sort of realm.
And, so is that like Australia?
And you wouldn't... Well, yeah, a bit more like the Sydney Diocesan Anglicanism.
No, you just have to go to the airport. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see, yes. We should go to the airport.
And Sydney's been a great influence over us in many good ways, and positive ways. So that
like
sort of road church. No, that's not very common. Lay administration, we would call it.
Sorry.
Jesus is our president.
Right. Well, we also have a president.
You do, that's true, yeah.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, well.
What are your thoughts and feelings?
My thoughts and feelings on that are that, you shouldn't have torn Romans 13 out of your Bible, where it says obey your leaders and pay your taxes. We had a reading yesterday in your church, and I was preaching, and you set the reading as 1 Peter 2, where Peter also says, obey the emperor and pay your taxes. So I didn't see the bit where there was a textual variant in the margin saying, brackets, but only if they give you representation in some sort of representative democracy. I don't remember that bit. And I'd also like to know, you want me to do this, don't you? You're smiling at me.
Yeah, I'm really delighted. You're
egging me on to do my American thing. How much tax did you pay under the... great George III.
A cent or two for a stamp. Okay. It was outrageous.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, you want to throw off that kind of tyranny, don't you? So taxes, I guess, must be much lower now that you have this much vaunted land of the free, home of the brave republic. You must pay much less in tax, I imagine, than you did under the British.
That's why we have so many children. It has absolutely been worth it to have 6 children go to the airport.
You just can't get the chauffeurs these days,
no,
can you?
No, it's so hard to get a proper driver.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. So it was all worth the rebellion, the illegal colonial rebellion of 1776, and that's worked out really well for you.
Well, so we are almost to the airport. I would like you to say something about your work in England and how we can find you online.
Oh, thanks. That'd be great if people would look up Church Society, they're the people I work for. Churchsociety.org is our website, and we do all sorts of things on there, some good resources. We're on Twitter and Facebook at Church Society. I also run a Facebook page called Lee on the Lectionary, which is facebook.com/lectionarylee, L-E-E, which is a weekly 5-minute video looking at the lectionary readings for that week. And I get it's the International Revised Common Lectionary, so people in England use that, people in America use that. It's also just hopefully an edifying 5-minute talk on some Bible passages. So it'd be great if people watch that, maybe looked at our resources on the blog. And we do books as well and things like that. So lots of books and good resources. The other things that Church Society do are we're involved in Anglican politics. One of the reasons I'm here is because we have a name internationally as an organization for resourcing and helping people, so I get invited places to speak. I've been speaking at the Cana Synod this week. And we're involved in politics in the UK as well, so you know, I've been to see Justin Welby, Archbishop Welby, to talk about things to do with gay marriage and the politics around that. I was invited to go and see the Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street a couple of months ago at a reception there. We're involved in synods and committees and things too. So publishing and politics. And the third thing we're involved in is patronage, which will surprise you because you think that Brits are all very patronizing.
It just means that
it's
you live at
nothing
Downton
to do with
Abbey.
Patronizing.
Right, it means that you own it yourself and you're going.
Well, if you've watched Downton Abbey, you would know that actually the Earl Grantham in Downton Abbey is a patron of the local parish church. So the patron there is, if the vicar goes to glory, it goes under a bus and goes to glory, or just below that if he's promoted to the bench of bishops, or if he moves on.
Is that higher or lower than Sheol? Well,
we should ask what airline you're on.
British Airways.
Oh, okay.
Airways, of course.
Oh, well, then there it is.
To the left, level one, British Airways. There we are. See, they know here at the airport. They know. so patronage, if... the vicar moves on, then it's the patron's job to help find a new vicar for the parish, and we have that role in 130 parishes. So there are 130 or so parishes that are Church Society parishes, and we play a role in trying to find the new vicar and appointments and recruitment, so trying to find the right person for the right parish.
I have been extremely helped by your talks this week and by your sermon yesterday. And I know that many people in my parish were, and many people who listened, who came to Synod were. If someone wanted to find a place where most of your lectures are recorded, or MP3s of those, where would they go?
Interesting. Well, they could go to churchsociety.org, but I have my own...
I think it was
level one on the left.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, never mind. Just follow the aeroplane. You could also go to my own website, which is gaitis.net,
okay.
Which is G-A-T, not a D like most Americans pronounce it, Gaitis.
Gaitis.
It's Gaitis.
Or Gaitis.
G-A-T-I-S-S, one T with two sugars. Gaitis.net. Gaitis.net.
That's wonderful.
So you can find some stuff there too.
I got you.
Maybe in due course I'll put up a review of Nailed It. 365 sarcastic devotions for angry or worn out people.
I look
forward
to that.
Do you consider yourself an angry and worn out
person?
No,
I'm neither of those things. I'm just a giver.
Should
for
I
those...
go around again? Several...
Yeah, go around okay. again. Okay. I just want to give back to the community.
With sarcasm and
yeah.
anger.
And anger.
It's not really a sarcasm.
It's not really sarcastic.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, it
I
is
was
a little
looking
bit
forward
sarcastic.
To seeing okay. some
it's not really angry. It is a little bit sarcastic.
I'm so pleased you've given me a copy of your book. I only wish that I had a copy of my book to give to you, my latest book. Did I do that?
You
I
did. You
here.
Did give
oh, okay.
We did name it on the air, but we will again. Well,
I'm just trying to get a free review out
right,
of you, you know?
I even will read an actual book. It's going to be something that may never occur again. So, well, we are so grateful to you for joining
yes.
us.
Yes.
And maybe in a year or so, we'll be able to join up with Dr. Gaitis again. But in the meantime, thanks for listening.
Thank you.